There's increasing concern over a chemical spill into the Farmington River that happened earlier this month. An accident at Bradley International Airport released 50,000 gallons of firefighting foam that contains chemicals known as PFAS, and an unknown amount made its way from the sewer system into the waterway. In the days since, it's become evident that it's going to be very hard to contain and remove the chemicals from the spill. New Hampshire Public Radio's environmental reporter Annie Ropeek has covered the issue of PFAS pollution around the region for several years, and she joins us now to talk more about it. Annie, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What exactly are PFAS chemicals?
So this stands for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. It's a really broad class of really thousands of industrial chemicals, so man-made substances, that were used for decades in all kinds of products. Think Teflon, Gore-Tex, stain-resistant carpets, grease-proof packaging for food. Really, I think of it as anything that resists something, so water or heat or grease. Or in the case of firefighting foams, they are flame retardant. So they are used in these firefighting foams called aqueous film-forming foam, and that is shorthanded as AFFF, and this is really one of the most commonly used forms of firefighting foam, and in fact is still common, even though PFAS chemical production in the U.S. has ramped down over the past couple of decades. Places like airports and military bases will have vast stores of these foams in their sprinkler systems and things like that, so they'll sit there, and they've been there for years just waiting to be used, or in your case, spilled.
So how large an environmental risk do you think that a spill like this one in Connecticut could pose?
It's potentially a very big environmental risk. These chemicals are really tricky because they latch on to bodies and to the environment really easily, and they're really hard to get out. And they also can have potential health risks in really, really, really small amounts. So a spill like this, depending on how much of those chemicals did actually get into your groundwater system, into the drinking water, into the water lines, that water could make its way to people's taps. It could make its way into people's private wells and into municipal wells. And it may be so dispersed that it winds up there at a very low level, but firefighting foam contains really high amounts of these chemicals, so it also could be quite concentrated in certain areas, and it's really hard to find it. It's hard to test for it because this is a fairly new area of environmental study, and also water treatment facilities don't tend to have treatment installed to get rid of these chemicals, again, because there's very little regulation around them, and that's only just starting to develop. So regulators do kind of have a big task on their hands to just even get a sense of the scope of the problem before even thinking about cleaning it up.
What kinds of health risks?
So the science around that is still evolving, too, but it's pretty clear that these chemicals can cause or have been linked to kidney disease, liver problems, high cholesterol is a big one, as well as developmental and immune disruptions, reproductive issues, and there's growing research to suggest that they could also be linked to certain types of cancers as well.
Now, I know that you've looked at communities where this has been a longstanding issue. How are people thinking about regulation and cleanup?
So regulation is really difficult because, like I said, there are thousands of these chemicals. We only have good science around a handful of them, maybe a dozen or fewer. And treatment technologies also are still kind of evolving to test for the really low levels of these that have been linked to health problems. So they're hard to regulate. Some advocates want them regulated as a class, not one by one, but right now, one by one is kind of how the federal and state regulation is proceeding. States like New Hampshire, where I am, have proposed or are about to propose drinking water standards for these chemicals. There is no federal drinking water standard for these chemicals, which means no treatment is required at public water systems. And then communities are also really struggling with the cost of cleanup when these chemicals are found. The state will sometimes come in, as they have in Connecticut, and try to figure out the scope of the problem. But it's a problem without an owner because these chemicals came from companies like 3M and DuPont that were made decades ago and sold to firefighting foam companies. Who's liable? Who actually put it in the water? These are all huge questions that people have to solve before the funding can come through to actually help fix the problems, which can be really expensive in a lot of cases.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep watching this story. We'll have to leave it there. Annie Ropeek from New Hampshire Public Radio, thanks for your time.
Thank you.